Blog Talk Radio.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me.
Stand by me.
In the midst of tribulation, stand by me.
Stand by me.
In the midst of tribulation, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the hosts of hell assail, and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Stand by me. In the midst of force and failure, stand by me. Stand by me.
In the midst of force and failure, stand by me.
Stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand.
When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing Kilijordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me.
Stand by me. Stand by me.
Well, Saints, we can end the broadcast right there, because with that song, we just had church. That's what I mean by sacred hymnody, sermons in song. I just had church. That was the Tennessee Ernie Ford rendition of Stand By Me. And like I said, I mean, we can end the broadcast right now, because the man, by means of song, brought us back to the Lord. This is the fastest church service you can have. In fact, I'm going to play it again. I want to have church again. Listen to this song. Let it get deep into your heart. Sing it. Sing it to the Lord. Have church right now.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
The song is a prayer. The song is a prayer. Asking God to stand by you through all of the phases of life, which he shall do.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me.
Stand by me.
In the midst of tribulation, stand by me.
Stand by me.
In the midst of tribulation, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the hosts of hell assail, and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost of battle, stand by me.
Stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. Stand by me.
In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me.
Stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand.
When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When my love comes a burden, and I'm nearing chilly Jordan. O thou lily of the valley, stand by me.
Stand by me. Stand by me. Stand by me.
Heavenly Father, we come to you right now on behalf of your people, the wonderful flock at Grace Church, and we ask you to stand by each person. We ask you to stand by Mary Rackmeyer and Harvey Rackmeyer. We ask you to stand by Bob Borsch. We ask you to stand by Shirley Shannon. We ask you to stand by Joyce and Ike. We ask you to stand by every member. We ask you to stand by Austin over there in Tennessee, where he's in new territory, unfamiliar territory. We pray for every member, whether attending member or non-attending member of Grace Church. Stand by them, Lord. They are your sheep. Jesus died and purchased them. Bless them, Lord. Bless everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. My brothers and sisters, today I'll be at church again for prayer at 12 noon to 1 o'clock. This is going to be a continuous thing. I'm going to be there at the church each and every day, Monday through Friday, from now until the fall. The weather is good, and it's an opportunity to call upon the Lord that he may pour out his divine spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, we are simply going to accomplish zero. So I shall be on my face, as it is required of each pastor of the church to be on his face, to seek the Lord and to seek his strength and to seek him evermore for divine assistance. in the great work that we have been called to do. It's a great work, but this great work requires great sacrifice, and God expects that of his workers. And so I'll be there. If you know of someone who is hurting, someone who is desperate, someone who is in need of prayer, you bring them around at 1 o'clock, and I will pray for them. Well, don't also forget, we have today Men's Fellowship. Now, the word is out that, of course, we're going to have Bible study, and but every week we have one of every other week, every 2 weeks, we have one of the great cookouts. Last week we had the week that we met prior, we had banana waffles, blueberry maple syrup, I mean real maple syrup from St. Johnsville. No, it's right there in St. Johnsville. Brother Sterling made some of the fluffiest pancakes I ever tasted. It was like real manna, like they came down from heaven. The sausages were just phenomenal. I mean, it was just phenomenal. This week, today, we're having homemade chili. Now, there was a chili served at Grace Church not too long ago. This chili had like three kinds of beans. It had like a pink bean, a white bean. A white bean is called a navy bean. Navy, pink, and red mixed in with the meat. Phenomenal. If that appears today at 6:30, I'll be in heaven. We're having chili. And we're also having Coney Island Nathan Frank's with the Sabrette's onion sauce. And someone's bringing homemade sauerkraut, which is going to just be phenomenal. So now we have people at the door making sure that the men that show up are men. We've heard through the grapevine that some people are going to show up. I won't mention who. I won't mention the sex. But some people are going to be showing up with mustaches and all that. Well, we're going to turn them around and say, this is the men's fellowship. And we're just going to have a great time of fun and games. We have Bible quiz, Bible study. So make sure to remind your husband and get him over to Grace Church, where we're going to have a great time. The guys never want to leave. We never want to leave. We just hang out and talk and have a great old time in the Lord. Well, we are wrapping up our study on God's prophetic declaration. This is week 14 of Manna from Heaven. Can you imagine week 14 already? We're in week 14 of this year. Yes, we are, and we're wrapping it up today. God's prophetic declaration. This series has to do with God appearing as a prophet. As a what kind of prophet? A no-nonsense prophet. Course-correcting prophet. The church is heading down the wrong path, and here comes God, and he says, thus saith the Lord, and it provides a course correction. So God appears, and he makes prophetic declarations, and in this series in particular, we've been talking about how God is speaking to leadership, how in some instances God will indict leadership, render a verdict against leadership, and eventually remove the leadership because the leadership deserves removing. Who indicts them? The church members? No. The deacons? No. The trustees? No. God does the indicting. God is the one who renders the verdict, and God is the one who shows the leadership the door. Now, this is all based on Ezekiel 34. Now, of course, you'll find this throughout the Bible. This is you'll find this pattern of God dealing with leaders who need to be dealt with in this manner, where he appears as prophet, where he indicts, to indict is to point to someone's wrongdoings, to call that person out, to list their wrongdoings. And then once God indicts, then God declares what he will do with that person or group of leaders. And then finally, after God renders his verdict, then God goes to acting. What does God do? He removes. He tells that leader goodbye. He retires that person. He shows them the door. Why? Because they deserve removing. You know, years ago, I remember my first tooth extraction. I remember I had a real bad tooth. And it was aching and it was hurting. And so my father took me to the country dentist. Now, this dentist, you know, he dealt with animals, farm animals, and he dealt with humans. And that's all we had. And I remember shaking in that chair, the dentist, I'm just shaking. I'm in pain, but I'm in shaking. I must have been about 11, 12, 13, I was young. And the dentist looked at the tooth and said to my father, this is what he said to my father. The tooth, rotten. It's just, look at it. He points to it, says, it's decayed. So my father says, can you save it? He says, no, it's beyond saving. That's the verdict. The tooth is just, you should have come to me earlier. But, of course, coming to him would have meant nothing because he's a country doctor. He didn't do fillings. He didn't, what come to him earlier? What kind of nonsense talk is that? He did nothing but just extract it. His job was, people came to him and he yanked the tooth out. That's what he did. So he looks at it, he inspects it. He didn't even have a medical flashlight. I remember him using a flashlight like the one my dad had. My dad would say, hold this flashlight when he's tinkering with the motor of the car to see what's wrong with the vehicle. It's one of those huge fast. He sticks that up in my mouth. Look, it's bad. And then he's pulling on it, and I'm yelling, it hurts. So my father says, what can you do? He says, the only thing we can do is remove it. And that's what God does. When a leader becomes rotten, no longer useful, when a leader causes pain to the rest of the body, like a bad tooth, what does God do? He yanks it out. So today we're looking at Revelation chapter 2, because I've given you an Old Testament example of Moses, which was a great pastor, which was a good pastor, but he committed a sin, a grave sin before the Lord, and the Lord says, because of this grave sin, this one sin, it's one sin, but it's a big one. It's a big one, because instead of honoring me before the people, you dishonored me. I told you what to do. I, the boss, told you what to do, and you went ahead and you acted as though you were the boss. And in so doing, that's a big sin to God. When you usurp his authority, when you try to act like a little god in the church, God doesn't like that. That's a big one. Because we should never forget who the boss is. And so God says to Moses, because you dishonored me in the eyes of the people and you acted as though you were me, I need to remove you. And many people will say, well, that's harsh. Well, guess who the boss is? God. And it should be a lesson to us all that if Moses didn't get a free pass, neither will you nor I. It's a warning, and God likes to warn us in his word, and we better take notice of his warnings. Then the second example that I gave you from the Old Testament were the scandalous sons of Eli, who were none other than the sons of Belial or the sons of Satan. They were never saved. They were never true servants of God, but by inheritance, because they belonged to the family or the tribe of Levi, they inherited the position as associate pastors. That's the way it was set up in the Old Testament. And these were two scoundrels, two scallywags, if you will, two good-for-nothings, if you will. And God killed them, and God killed their father. Why did God remove the father? Because he was continually permissive. And why did God kill the two boys? Because they were continually evil. And when the Lord shows up and says, thus saith the Lord, whatever he says goes. And if that means I have to go or you have to go, that's what it means. He is no respecter of persons. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how many honors and certificates and plaques and awards you've won. If you do not honor God and if you do not serve his people according to the due order, he will show you the door. I've seen this again and again with my own eyes over 40 years of ministry. I've seen some big-name people, God showing them the door. Why? Because, again, they presume to be the boss. The church only has one boss or one Adonai. As we learned, as we studied the Hebrew word, this term Adonai, this proper noun, is exclusively given to, assigned to the Lord throughout the entire Old Testament. There's only one Adonai. Never, 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 never in the Old Testament do you see the term Adonai being applied to anyone else other than the Lord. The authors of the Old Testament were impressing upon our minds that the church, the congregation of the Lord, only has one head. And we better understand that. Because if we don't, again, he will fire us. He will terminate us. Now, some people get shown the door and they get to live. Other people get shown the door and they soon after die. Or die as they're being shown the door. You have your pick. But I don't need any more warnings than that. I don't need to be warned. I've read the scriptures enough. I'm warned enough. So here in Revelation chapter 2 is your New Testament example. But I can give you many more, but we're ending this series today because I think it would be overkill to keep impressing upon you that what thus saith the Lord, that's what really goes in the church. So here in Revelation chapter 2, the Lord Jesus, who is standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which represent the seven churches or seven dispensations of the church age, starting with the church of Ephesus, which represents the apostolic church, and each one of these churches represents the church in church history unfolding for the last 2,000 years, and the church that we're living in right now is the church of Laodicea. That's our church, the church that Jesus wants to vomit out of his mouth because they're neither hot nor warm. So here, looking at the church of Thyatira, which is the fourth church, it says here in Revelation 2:18, write this unto the angel or unto the pastor of the church in Thyatira. Tell him, these things saith the Son of God. Who is the Son of God? The Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the head of the church. What he says goes. This saith the Son of God. Let me give you a description of the Son of God in this instance. His eyes are like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like unto fine brass. In other words, with his eyes, he scrutinizes every heart, every mind, every life. When you stand before Jesus, you can hide nothing from his what? From his powerful eyes. Eyes that can see all things. And then also, the feet of fine brass, the feet of brass are the feet of judgment, where he stomps on or pulverizes his enemies. This is pretty descriptive. He says, I know thy works and thy love and thy service and thy faith and thy patience and thy works to the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because you suffereth, or you permit that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, you have allowed her to teach and to seduce my servants to do what? To commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. So Jesus appears to this church and he says, listen, you're doing some marvelous things in the community. For the most part, you're a good church. However, there's this one thing that annoys me about you. There's this one thing that I have to bring up. There's this one thing that we're going to deal with right now. You have decided to not deal with the elephant in the room. You've decided to ignore the elephant in the room. But I'm not going to ignore the elephant in the room. We're going to deal with it right now. You have in the church a woman who I have dubbed Jezebel. Why have I called her Jezebel? Because she's a mirror image of the Jezebel of the Old Testament. I have dubbed her Jezebel. This Jezebel calls herself, she has titled herself, she goes around calling herself a spokesman of God. She claims to be the mouthpiece of God. Yet this horrible woman teaches and seduces my servants, my holy children. She teaches them that it's okay to engage in sexual immorality and it's okay to eat things that have been devoted to devils. Now, I've given her space to repent. I've given her time and opportunity to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. She refuses to give up her wicked ways. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now notice, go back to Ezekiel 34. Go to Ezekiel 34. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I, even I. You see that phrase, behold, I, even I? Let's go back here to Revelation, because I want to show you how it shows up in Revelation. The same formula, the same declaration. Now Jesus has already revealed himself. He says, this is the one who's speaking. He's the Son of God. His eyes are like unto a flame of fire, which gives him the ability to scrutinize everything. Nothing can be hidden from him. He sees it all, and he's coming in judgment. He says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. You have this woman, Jezebel. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I, even I, will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. That word death is, I'm going to plague them. I will kill her children with a plague. And by so doing, all the churches will know that I am he who searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every man according to his works. Notice. The pastor, the angel of the church, tolerated this woman. And she went on to preach and to prophesy and to thus saith the Lord and to misrepresent God. And she went as far as telling God's holy people that it was okay to act unholy. Can you think about that? You're a holy people. You're supposed to live holy lives. And she's saying, oh, no. as the spokesman of God, as the mouthpiece of the Lord, I'm telling you that he is okay with you engaging in sexual immorality. He's okay with you going to the altar of demons and eating food sacrificed to idols. He's okay with that. He's okay with spiritual polluting. Not just physical polluting. Remember, the fornication is to get God's people to physically pollute themselves, but to eat things sacrificed to idols is to spiritually pollute themselves. Physical and spiritual pollution. And Jesus says, Pastor, you did not do anything about it. In fact, you ignored it. You made believe it wasn't happening. And I'm calling you on it, and I'm going to take care of her. What you should have done, which was to show her the door, since you failed to show her the door, I will show her the bed of affliction. She will die in her bed. She will not get up from this bed. And also her children, I will kill her children. Yes, saints, this is New Testament. Jesus is saying, I'm going to get rid of them by plaguing them. I'm going to put a plague on them, something like COVID, if you can imagine that, because COVID is a plague. I'm going to plague them, and they won't be able to get out of that bed. They will die in that bed. You see, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is the head of the church. He's always been the head of the church. Now, you can learn you can learn the easy way by reading it in the Bible and saying, okay, Lord, I'll behave myself. Or you can learn it the hard way. You can act the fool. You can walk around declaring lies in the name of God and not doing as he would have you to do. And then you'll find yourself either in a bed of affliction or kicked out the door. But either way, he's going to show you, he's going to show me, he's going to show the pastor, he's going to show the deacons, he's going to show the trustees, he's going to show the elders, he's going to show all the churches who the boss is. Because every now and then we need to be reminded, every now and then we need to be taken back to school. And this subject needs to be reiterated in our ears. So to all of my precious brothers and sisters today, I say grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. You pray for me as I pray for you. And I leave you with Tennessee Ernest Ford in this last hymn. May God bless you today and use you to bring someone to Christ.
When God dips his pen of love in my heart, writes my soul a message he wants me to know. His spirit all divine fills this simple soul of mine. When God dips his love in my heart. And although the way seems dreary, dark and cold, and trouble surrounds me and keeps me from my goal, I go whispers sweet peace to
I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul.
How good salvation when you made me whole. How good life, such love as Jesus did impart. God makes me laugh and it makes me cry. Sets my sinful soul on fire.
When God dips his love in my heart,